Hey, everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark. There's a new poll out from the New York Times and Siena, and viewers of the channel know I've been picky and choosy about wanting to get into poll content. We're far away from another election. These things have margin of errors. We've been burned before, but every once in a while, something comes out that I think really distills something very important about our moment. And this New York Times Siena poll, I think, has revealed something that is important to break down about Donald Trump's declining political standing. And I think that this is important because the Trump win in 2024 was, a nightmare on so many different vectors. But one thing that I think was especially concerning for a lot of us was the way that he managed to cobble together a new coalition that he hadn't had in 2016 and 20, and that he'd brought in a lot of new voters, particularly young voters, particularly Black and Hispanic men. There's some other groups too, but like those are the two main groups. And for those of us kind of look projecting out, I mean, if this is a realignment, where Republican, MAGA Republicans are doing better among young voters, among Black and brown men, among people who don't show up to the polls that much, like that's an important realignment that makes us much more susceptible to some kind of permanent quasi MAGA authoritarianism. Caveat always applying, assuming we, have free and fair elections, et cetera, et cetera. So the Siena poll, I think, is important not be just because Donald Trump's approval rate is shit. And let me tell you, Donald Trump's approval rate is shit. The Siena poll is important because we learn who the voters are that got onto the Trump train in 2024 and have since jumped off over the course of the first year. And learning about who those important voters are is important for political strategy and understanding the way forward. So let's dig into this. Basically, what I would call the headline of this poll is the second Trump coalition has unraveled. Trump's approval rating is at 40%, disapproved 57%. Where is that movement coming from? Well, what Nate Cohn and the folks at New York Times and CNN have found is that the major demographic shifts of the last election have snapped back. In today's poll, Trump's approval rating by demographic group looks almost exactly as it did in the run-up to his defeat in 2020. So what we have here now is some evidence that there has not really been a permanent realignment, that this sort of aspirational, multicultural, working-class coalition that a lot of MAGA commentators were talking about, like that coalition lasted a year, and the people that had come on board and joined that coalition have decided that they don't like the smell, and they were the last ones on the train, and they're the first ones off. In short, Nate Cohn puts it bluntly: if anything, young and non-white voters are even likelier to disapprove of Mr. Trump than they were back in 2020, while Trump retains most of his support among older and white voters. Womp, womp. I want to just take a look at the chart here together. So you're looking at net support here, right? So that vertical line on the right side of the graph would be the marker of kind of being even, being basically 50-50. So you can see Trump is above water with white voters there, a little bit under plus 10. And you can see there's no movement. With non-white voters at the top of the chart there, you look at the 2020 number. He was, this chart doesn't give you the exact numbers here, but looks like, kind of around minus 35. In 2024, he gained to where he's minus only, call it around 25. Now in 2026, he's almost minus 50. So not only has he lost the support he gained, but even additional people have jumped off the train. So Trump is really struggling with non-white voters. Also, with young voters, you're seeing the same, right? Where in 2020, you see there, he was what, minus about 25. Then in 2024, in the election against Kamala Harris, got pretty close to even with young voters, preferring Harris by somewhere between 5 and 10%. Now you see young voters again. Now that arrow is pointing close to -50 as well. So just total collapse among young voters, 18 to 29, as well as non-white voters. While the whites, the older whites, the 30-plus whites, my people, bad. They're still staying about where they were before the election. I want to get into a couple of other big takeaways from this, things we can learn. Democrats lead by 5 nationwide in the generic ballot. This is pretty good. This is, again, it's about basically the nuts of this poll is that the things have snapped back to about where they were in 2020. Democrats won the House in 2020. Senate ends up being a coin flip, 50-50. And so really, Democrats are going to need to kind of push that number up this time if you want the goal of taking back the House and the Senate. But I think things, you know, continue to look very good in the House of Representatives for the Democrats in the midterms and a likely Speaker Jeffries. If you go through the issues, it's important here that to note that he's underwater on basically all the issues, -17 on immigration, 18 on the economy, 19 on foreign relations, -30 on the cost of living, -44 on the Epstein files. And so, you know, there are a lot of things that are driving this snapback in support. I would assume this is not in Nate Cohn's analysis, but I would assume that you know, the immigration stuff and just this horrific ICE enforcement is having an impact on the Hispanic voters snapping back. But what Cohn finds is that, like, broadly speaking, the evidence is that it's the economy that's driving voters away from Trump. On question after question, voters give him negative marks in the handling of that issue, Cohn says, including just 34% approve his handling of the cost of living compared with 64% who disapprove. So again, that's a -30 on the cost of living. And then I think the key point here is looking at this group that we care about, like who are the switchers? What word does Sarah use for these people? Switchers? Sounds right. I've taken a little break from the focus group. We love Sarah. We love Sarah. You should watch the focus group, and I'm going to start watching it again soon, but I just, mental health. Switchers, I think is what she calls them. Flippers. There it is. Flippers, these people we care about, you know, they voted for Trump. Now they're off. What can we learn about them? Again, it's mostly the economy. What we see here is among all voters, when you ask them what the biggest problem is facing the country, about 1 in 4 say an economic issue. Some say immigration, some say just Trump being crazy, corruption, democracy, foreign affairs, various things come up. Among the voters who flipped, 44% of them cite economic issues. 44, so almost half. So not all, though. You know, so as I mentioned, I think the Hispanic community, immigration is coming up. I think Israel is something that was brought up. I think a lot of the younger voters were fooled by Trump and thought that he was going to be better on the Gaza genocide than Harris, which is unbelievably stupid. But here we are. The Board of Peace, Jared Kushner, had a PowerPoint today at Davos talking about all the great, you know, high rises. His real estate buddies are going to be building in Gaza. So a couple of issues, but economy, main takeaway, sorry for that digression. Main takeaway, economy is the big reason, but there are some other issues that are causing folks to jump off the Trump train. Lastly, I just want to say there's another poll coming out today. I wouldn't usually mention this, but just as far as like kind of verifying, you know, making sure this is an outlier. Emerson had a poll out, had Trump at 43% approved, 51% disapproved. So slightly better than what we see from New York Times, CNN. I like to focus on that poll because I just think Nate Cohn does a really good job of being rigorous. He caught a lot of the movement that we saw in 2024 last time. And just does a good job of breaking it down. And so I like to focus on New York Times, Siena, but Emerson kind of directionally verifies that this is the ballpark of where the country is on Trump. I want to get to one last question. And I'm usually such a downer, you know, so there was just, as I was digging through the crosstabs of the New York Times, Siena poll, there was one thing that Cohn didn't mention in his analysis that caught my eye. And it gave me a little skip my step this morning. Give me a little pick-me-up. So if you're looking for a little pick-me-up, let's do this together. And that was, the question is, what emotion best describes how you feel about Donald Trump's presidency so far? Just think about that. What would your answer be? Just think about a word. Okay. Now, they offer a bunch of options. enthusiasm, pride, hope, relief, satisfaction, just neutral, confusion or shock, disappointment or sadness, disgust or derision. Now we're talking. Fear, anxiety, hostility or outrage. Still one I like. Are people who don't know and refused. So you look at those answers, and there's kind of like a bucket of positive answers that you'd think Trump supporters would give, and then there's a bucket of negative answers that you think that people who are post-Trump would give, and then there's, you know, some things that are more of a mixed bag for our flippers, for people in the middle. And what struck me here, let's pull this poll up on the screen now, and here's what struck me. Among Trump supporters, the emotion that best described how they felt was satisfaction. Satisfaction. That's not like enthusiasm. I don't know. Think about things that you're satisfied by. Satisfaction is okay. Rolling Stones say it's bad when you can't get no satisfaction. So it's nice to have satisfaction. It's nice to be satisfied. But if you think about your favorite things, like when I think about the Oasis concert I went to last year, I wouldn't say I was satisfied by that. When I think about, you know, big milestones for my child, satisfied, I'd be a tinge of disappointment, right? If you're very, if you make your personality about something, if you're a red hat person, if you're really into Donald Trump, saying that you're satisfied, it's almost like a little bit like, I wanted a little more. Anyway, that was the one that came up most. Enthusiasm or pride only had 9%. Hope only had 3%. So if you kind of look at those numbers together, you really only have about 30% that have like a very positive emotional association with Trump right now. Look at the other side of that ledger. Disappointment, sadness is 16%. So some of those could be some of these flippers who wanted better from Trump. Some of them are other folks. Then the biggest number, hostility, outrage, 20%. Hostility, outrage, 20%. You add in disgust and derision, 29%. That's 29% who feel disgusted or outraged by Trump versus only 9% who feel enthusiastic or proud. I think that tells you a lot. Okay, I think it tells you a lot that the Trump base has a very small number who are like, I'm loving what he's doing right now. I love having ICE agents shoot lesbians in the face in their Honda Pilot. Like, I love trying to steal Greenland. I love coups in Venezuela. I'm loving, you know, the crypto corruption, right? Like, I'm loving that the libs are owned, right? That's only 9%. It's a lot of people, 9% of the country, big country, but only 9%. And you add in hope, it's 12%. Relief, I guess, is maybe positive because it's like relief that Biden's are gone. 14%. It's pretty small. Then you have like 19 in that satisfaction category, which I would call like kind of, you know, somewhat favorable. Then on the other side, 29% of people fucking hate this, are disgusted by it, are outraged by it. To me, that shows kind of that there's more of us than there are of them when it comes to people that are highly motivated by what's happening right now. And that's a good place to be. And so I'm happy the New York Times asked that question. What emotion best describes how you feel about Trump's presidency? Because I think what it revealed is that there's a tinge of disappointment in MAGA world, and there is a unified rage in Never Trumper world. And I think that will potentially end up yielding some positive political results. So there's my little bit of good news for today. Everybody, subscribe to the feed. If you're new, come on. This is it. This is the good shit all the time. If you're a frequent viewer, you haven't subscribed yet, do it now. Comment, like. Appreciate y'all so much. We'll be seeing you soon. Peace.